All right, welcome back to the Wrestling with Altitude podcast. I am your host, Mr. Fourth Row, and I am joined on this episode with one of my local wrestling favorites. He's a referee and an all-around good guy, and that's Richard Gustafsson. Richard, how you doing?
Doing pretty good, man, and I believe you're not going to be, you're probably like the 8,000th person to misspell the last name, but that's all right.
Oh, did I not exactly say it right?
Yeah, let me help everybody out there listening. It's pronounced Gustafsson.
Gustafsson, okay.
Gustafsson, right. Yeah, but that's okay, man. Like I said, you're like the 8,000th person, so don't worry. <I'm... laughs>
All right, well, I apologize for that.
You're good, Artie.
But so first question out of the chute. How did you get introduced into this wacky world of professional wrestling?
Well, I'll start as a fan. As a kid, my mom would just plop me in front of the television and shut me up. So one day, wrestling was on it, and I just stuck with it. This was back around in the mid-'80s. So I was watching guys like, you know, Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff and Dusty Rhodes and the Midnight Express and all them. So that's when I got into the business. Of watching it. Now, getting into the business itself, there was an independent show here in Colorado Springs run by Silent Championship Wrestling. And so I went to it just to check it out, see it was really neat. And I seen an old friend of mine, Carl Owens, he happened to have been the ring announcer. So after the show, I started talking to him and stuff, and he introduced me to the guy that ran ACW, which was Brandon Bishop at the time. Mm-hmm. So we started talking at the end of the show, and Brandon kind of wanted to bring me in as a wrestler. So I thought, well, I'll give it a shot, see what happens. And I was about getting in my 30s, and I was about to start getting into other things that we'll talk about here in a bit. So I went to the little training thing, and be honest with you, I couldn't take a bump to save my life. It was just horrible business. So I just got out of the ring and stuff, and I did a little slap on the mat, and Brandon looked at me and said, well, we are looking for a referee. And I said, well, I can try to do that. So he basically explained to me, okay, this is what the refs wear, you know, come to this show. Now I'm thinking my first show, which was October 10th, 2010, so that's an easy date to remember. So I was in this little garage area thing, and the crowd was very hot, very good crowd. So I thought I was going to get some help because I'm a new ref. I'm green as part of my French goose shit in this sport. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, get to the show. I'm like the only one in a striped shirt. I'm like, okay, how's this going to work out? So my very first show and my very first match I did basically was the entire show.
You went coast to coast. And
I went coast to coast, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the guys were really great. They helped me out in between matches. They said, okay. And I learned a lot from that show. And that's what makes it funny because that's when I started to learn too. I learned just by doing it. So, you know, by the first match, you know, I got done. Carl was a ring announcer. He said, you good? And I put a big old grin on my face. I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty good. So throughout that time, I started to learn a little bit more while I'm doing the show. And it was like, by the end of the show, it kind of felt like I was kind of a seasoned veteran.
Wow. That's awesome. So I want to step back and unravel some of the things that you did talk about. So getting introduced, getting, like you said, plopped in front of the television. So were those some of your favorites that you enjoyed watching growing up?
It was Hogan and Piper. Those were my guys. And when I started watching, they were fighting each other. But down the road, they quit fighting each other, and it was just like, all right, but. Yeah, those are the two guys, and that's when I started wrestling or watching wrestling. So,
that's awesome. So then, what precipitated you go into that show to where you started make the introductions and getting involved in the business? Was it just something you wanted to go check out, or?
Yeah, it was because, like I said, you know, we used to have the wrestling in Colorado Springs here, and we used to be the old World Wrestling Federation. So I remember seeing shows at the City Auditorium and then seeing, you know, they called it the Broadmoor World Arena. Then they built the World Arena and stuff. So the City Auditorium was kind of left sitting, you know. But, of course, obviously they had the show there, which was really cool. And I was very interested because, like, well, maybe we'll take back to my days of being a kid, you know, watching wrestling in the City Auditorium. So, and it was that's just what got me into it. It just piqued my interest. So.
That's awesome. All right, so kind of maybe off topic or little tangent. You mentioned Asylum Wrestling, and if people are familiar with the area, Asylum was around a while ago and is coming back, they have announced that they've purchasing or taking over Primo. So what's your take on that?
Oof, that kind of surprised me a little bit. Yeah. I thought Primo was doing a great job up in Denver. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, reading everything, hearing everything, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening, to be real with you.
It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, I understand.
I don't know how it's going to work out and stuff. And, you know, and I'm wondering, you know, what, to me, honestly, what, you know, Doug McDougal's thoughts on it, because he runs Primo's. And like I said, it's a hot thing up there in Denver. And all of a sudden, you got this hot company and somebody else is going to come in. It's like, that's kind of interesting if you kind of think about it. So right. It's like, the CB, using the analogy here, Walmart being the hot market, and all of a sudden Target comes in and takes them. It's like, what's going on with that? Are they hurting, or, you know? So it's kind of intriguing, but we will see what happens with it. And who knows? Maybe they'll ask me to do another run with Asylum. Who knows?
yeah. And I wasn't involved in the business per se when that was happening. And what I gather from talking to a few people, and Joe has been kind of quiet exactly what's happening. And a lot of people are claiming they don't know, or they haven't been told, or they're just kind of rolling with whatever. And and honestly, I don't know if we're being worked, or if we're just, it's just not a lot of information. A lot of the so-called cards are being close to the vest on this one.
Yeah, you kind of agree with that one. So I guess the best advice to give everybody is just, play it by ear, see what happens.
And as I always say, just support your, if you're a fan of wrestling, independent wrestling, just support your independent wrestling promotions and all of the talent that are involved, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. I agree with that totally.
All right.
Especially now more than ever with what's happening.
I think it's
very important that, because a lot of the independent wrestlers, they do have their own merchandise. They have their own T-shirts. They've got stickers, things of that nature. Go buy those things. There's some that have, different special projects to do with Patron and with Demia. So go check those out if you know any independent stars, and go check them out and go support them, especially now more than ever.
Right. And, and since you just mentioned that, do you have any of that set up for yourself, or is that just maybe referees just don't necessarily have that, a lot of that, or what's your thoughts on all that?
Well, I think it's just most of the talent. I think, the referee for, this is my personal take with the referee for general.
Okay.
We're just there to make sure everything's fine, make sure the wrestlers are fine, make sure no one gets hurt, make sure that, that things are down square in the middle, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we're not, some people will say, well, yeah, you're very important. Yeah, we are, but we're not as important as the talent, because really, let's be honest, no one's buying a ticket to go see me referee. They're probably like, oh, I'm here to see Big Gun. Okay, great. Welcome.
Right.
So that's like, so that way, they're there to see Big Guns. They're not there to see me. So in this case here, using Big Guns as an example, he's got some things out. He's got some stuff in Pro Wrestling Tees. Go check him out. Go buy the merchandise and make sure that he's taken care of. Because again, I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm just a referee. But, with the talent stuff, I know they're itching to get back in the ring. I know that they're wanting to get to get in the ring and beat some people up, And for some of them, this is all they've got, So as much as you can, go try to find your favorite wrestler's merchandise area and go purchase some stuff.
Right. Totally got you. I was, I said this on one of my other podcasts that I host. I host three, amazingly enough, or co-host another one.
You busy man. Look at you.
And I took advantage of Pro Wrestling Tees. A couple weeks ago, I had the Spring Fling promotion. And I'll just say it on this podcast, too. Let's just say I purchased enough shirts from my the local wrestling talents to probably keep me clothed for a couple of weeks. So
there you go. Good job. Yeah, absolutely. So, and it's not just like T-shirts. I mean, I know some wrestlers have like stickers, 8x10s,
mm-hmm.
things of that nature. And some of them also are doing special video messages. So watch out for that. So if you can afford something to that, where your favorite, favorite indie wrestler can give you a video message, go ahead and take advantage of that. It's very nice. It's very great.
Yes, I totally agree. All right, so so we talked about you getting your first introduction into refereeing the rings and stuff like that. But from there, how did your career go from there? Do you have any highlights or memorable moments of you know, refereeing in there in that ring?
I actually do, because I'll go back to my time with the Silent Championship Wrestling, and this was now in 2010. So after a while, I was refereeing and stuff, and the guy came up to me and said, you know, hey, have you thought about being a manager or something? I said, I really haven't thought about it. So he said, well, you know, we're looking to put this stable together, which is a heel stable. And I said, well, okay, I don't have to be a bad guy here, okay? So what I did was I took the jump in this case here. I became a manager a little bit, you know, like a lackey guy. And I tell you what, that was the most fun I had, because so many people were just giving me so much grief. It was amazing. Took my first chair shot, you know, as a manager, which was fantastic. You know, doesn't feel good, but it was fantastic. So it was great with that one, you know, got to work and I got to be in the ring with a couple of really great legends, you know, Vader and Goldust. It was just amazing to just sit there and go, okay, I watched these guys a few years back, you know, on my television. Now here I am, I'm in the ring with them, and they probably want to kick my ass. So it's so it's like, it was a good feeling. So those are some really great moments. And as a referee, I work with a company right now called Colorado Springs Wrestling, and we did, I think it was last year or so, or 2 years or so, I'm not sure. We did down in Polo, Colorado, the Scorpion Festival. And I was sitting there going, okay, so how's this going to work out? So basically with CSW, they had one match, and then we'd wait an hour, and then we'd do another match. But, you know, throughout the whole day, I got to see all sorts of things. I got to see, you know, drag queens dance. I got to see scorpion races. Like, so I'm doing all this while I'm in referee attire. And it was, like, the most fun I think I've had as a referee so far was doing that entire day.
And was that that festival, was that shortly after CSW launched? Because I don't remember that.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. Pretty All much, right. yeah. We were, yeah, I believe so, because we were getting in the groove of, you know, after the launch, and now Colorado Springs was starting to, you know, to really accept CSW. We went down to Pueblo, of all places.
Right.
And from what I'm seeing right now, Pueblo is starting to get their wrestling companies going, and that's really great, too. So we're now starting to see the whole state get independent wrestling.
Yeah, especially that the southern part of Colorado that's been kind of sparse throughout the years. You know, Denver's been kind of up and down. You know, many promotions
come and go.
There's been some stalwarts and some evolutions of certain ones, but now the southern part of Colorado's got some great promotions. CSW, of course, being one of them. That's just been going on for this will be the 4 years this year. So right, yeah, 2016's been a great year for a lot of things. CSW, myself, Cubs winning the World Series. But you know,
well, okay,
you know. That kind of stuff. Let me ask you, let me step back a second. That faction you were in, tell us about that. What was the name of the faction and who was in it?
Sorry about that. The faction was called Quinn Industries.
Okay.
So basically, we were a group of us. We had Mark Casals, we had Danger Dean. I'm trying to think. We had Jason with it. I can't think of the gentleman's name that worked with me and stuff as the manager as well. I forgot his name. He's such a good guy, too. And we would just pick on the faces and stuff. And, you know, that's when, you know, they would bring in guys like Goldust and Vader to come in to try to beat us up.
Right.
But it was such a great time. As a matter of fact, this is a true story. I think I shared it a couple times on my Facebook and stuff. But we had a fan in ACW that created action figures of us. Like, I'm sitting there going, okay, I thought I was going to go wrestlers. Well, he shows me my action figure. And I'm like, this isn't real, right? He goes, yeah, it's real.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, oh, my God, yeah, exactly. So yeah. I thought, well, I'm now an action figure, and I still have it. We, poor thing, me and him traveled up the road together. So,
is it a one-of?
It's a one-of, yeah. But it's just so interesting. I mean, because there'll be there'll just be days when, you know, trying to be interesting with life.
Yeah.
And then I'll just look at it and just be like, I'm a damn action figure. And then I'll just go back to business.
Oh, that is very, very cool. So, since you were, like you said, a manager of a faction, when mm-hmm. you are now, you know, of course, you know, mainly refereeing, is there times that you miss it, or have ever thought like, oh, God, I'd love to do another run of it?
Oh, that's funny, because I was just thinking about that the other day. I was just like, I wonder, you know, if we get back to this stuff, you know, because
yeah.
we're starting to get a lot of good referees in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, it's like fantastic. But yeah, it's just for some reason, you know, it was just like, I wonder if, you know, if there's something in the works or I can get into it where it'd be like, okay, maybe I can get into like getting that personality back, because, mm-hmm. you know, there's some things that I've learned, you know, away from the ring, entertainment wise, that we'll talk about here in a bit. Yeah. And it's just like, I wonder if, you know, there's a spot for me as a manager or something, you know? And if it's not, then it's okay. I mean, I'm not going to complain, you know. If they still need a referee, I'm still here. I've still got my stripes.
Right. So. And let's be honest, we are going to need, down the road, we are going to need the CSW locker room to rise up against the UWO. Right?
Hmm. I'll just be a disinterested party in the back here. I'll just let those two fractions go at it, and I'll just be like, okay.
Right, yeah. I
it's kind of interesting, man. It's kind of interesting, yeah. Because, you know, hey, I do see it, and it's just like, you know, there'll be whispers from the CSW side and whispers from the UWO side, and I'm sitting there going, I'm just a ref, guys. Just
right, yeah.
Leave me out of it, so. Right. But who knows? I mean, maybe one of those two things will come up to me like, hey, listen, we may need your help with something. So, you know, you never know with wrestling, man.
Right, yeah. Yeah, there's the balance at being in the ref in CSW right now, where you want to be able to continue to do what you want, but you also want to make sure that you're taking care of yourself and protecting yourself, right?
Absolutely. You said it perfectly, Artie. Perfectly right there.
Yeah. So who have been some of your favorite wrestlers to ref in that ring for whatever various reasons?
You know, I got to say that I loved it, and I hope it happens again, because he moved to Seattle. But Dejan Dean was just fantastic to just be in the ring with as a referee. So much fun. I referee a match with him and Joe McDougal. That was so much fun to do. It was so great. And I hope I get to do that again with him. Mm-hmm. And then for a while, because I did take a little bit of time off, and then I came back. And then when I came back to CSW for a while, I think people were thinking I was Big Guns official. You know? It was like every show, it was like I was reffing a Big Guns match. And, you know, it's like I didn't have a problem, because I actually do like reffing Big Guns matches. They're fun to referee. And some of my favorites, and this is, I hope none of the referees will probably say this, but you know what? The funnest matches of a referee are the ones where there's no rules. There's just no rules. You know, so like triple threat matches, or, you know, no disqualification matches. Those are the most fun to referee. Because it's like, okay, I can just, you know, either count to three or watch a submission. That's about it.
Right. And speaking of just watching and stuff like that, have there ever been times that you've just been so entranced about the match that you forgot that you had a job there to do?
Oh, God. I think that happens a lot sometimes. I'm not going to lie to you. Because I'll be sitting there, and especially watching two good talents go at it. You know, you're sitting there going, I'm like standing there, and I'll be going, Jesus Christ of the Redeemer, this is just a great match. I'm like, oh wait, yeah, I'm refereeing, I gotta break that chokehold. So so it happens. I mean, I'm human. It happens like that. And you know, there's like especially those hardcore matches, because it's just like sometimes I just go from ref to being a concerned person, like, Jesus, why would you do that to yourself? You know? So
right.
So it does. It happens. I mean, if I'll be honest, if a ref looks at you and says, oh, no, I'm perfectly professional, they're lying to you. Because, right. You know, to be honest, we're humans. I mean, you watch some great wrestling, you're at a moment, you're going to be a fan, and you're going to go, oh, that was fucking cool. or that was the craft. But yeah, and then you go back to being official, be like, okay, I got to take care of you guys.
Right. Okay, well, so what about, I don't know if I've ever even asked this of any of the referees I've interviewed, but is there a match that you would love to referee, either a singles match and even a tag team match? You'd like to see two opposing sides get in there, and then you get to be the ref of that match?
Gosh, man. That's a great question.
And this could be anywhere, anyhow, anytime, you know, anything that's possible, you know, even a dream match, if it may not technically be possible.
That's true. Yeah. Cause I think, oh man, this is impossible to think about, cause I don't know if I want to stick with Colorado or just go out of it.
Well, yeah. Like I said, anywhere, anyhow.
Going on. Anywhere, anyhow, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see here, because I'm going to be doing some thinking about this. This is a great question here, Artie. You know what? If you can spare with me here, I'm going to go to the past.
Okay.
If you don't mind, because, you know, I've been an older fan of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to go in the past. I would have loved to have been the referee for the Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair trilogy in 89.
Ooh.
I would have loved to have been the referee for those matches. Tommy Young, I was jealous of him. he got to referee those matches, and those are some of the best matches I think Flair and Steamboat have ever had.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, because I mean, what an experience to be that close to such a classic part of wrestling history.
Oh yeah, that would that would have been great. So now let's go to the present. let's come to 2020 here. I think I would have enjoyed to have refereed probably, I'm trying to think of some good matches these days. I think probably maybe Jericho and Rhodes from AEW. I think that would have been fun to watch and referee in. So they put on a hell of a match. They did.
You're right. Well, let me ask you about this. Let me ask you, see if I can set something up for you too. You mentioned that, people think that, you know, you're a Big Guns personal referee. So, so you're refereeing a match, Big Guns versus who would you like to see Big Guns get in the ring with? I mean, this can be, like I said, anywhere here locally, any promotion, any line can be drawn and
cross
kinds of things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, no contracts, no nothing.
Yeah.
No, like, you can't work with this federation. Okay.
Right.
All right. This is going to sound funny. I would like to see Big Guns against Brock Lesnar. I would. And that would be so fun to watch, because, you know, you talk about two tough hosses, as they would say. You know, that'd be, of course, as they would, the old school saying, that'd be a good hoss fight, you know?
Right.
Big Guns and Brock Lesnar, I think that would be fun to watch, you know, and they're both good athletes for their size. I mean, they're tremendous.
Yeah, and, you know, and I'm not trying to put Big Guns down, but this would be a kind of a cool, different version of a David and Goliath, because I think Brock Lesnar probably has a little bit of height on Big Guns, but it would be really cool because, you know, he is, like you said, Big Guns is a great athlete, so I could definitely see him work well with Lesnar.
Yeah, and again, the toughness, too. Both guys are just tough.
Yeah.
Just super tough.
Right. Yes, definitely. All right, well, so let's switch gears for just a moment. So outside of the wrestling ring, you are a screenwriter and a comedian. How did you get interested in and involved in that industry? Those industries, I should say.
It's kind of funny because it's pro wrestling. With ACW, I also had to do some ring announcing sometimes. So, you know, the fear of being on the mic really completely died when that happened. So I started to do some stand-up comedy around 2013. And then, you know, it kind of bit me a little bit. So what I did is I made a move to Los Angeles and lived in Los Angeles for a little while, about a year or so. And while I was out there, you know, I got to do the open mics and some of the comedy clubs. And then I, you know, wound up finding a place called Central Casting in Los Angeles. Basically, that's for actors. That's kind of like, you know, workforce.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you go in, give them your information. If they got jobs, they'll tell you, and you go to those jobs. So that's what central casting was for acting. And, you know, somebody famously came from that, which was Brad Pitt. That's another story. Kids can Google it.
Right.
So I was like doing one of the background acting jobs. Somebody told me about screenwriting. I said, oh, okay. And he goes, well, you're a comedian. You got to write your stuff, right? I said, yeah, sure. So I started writing my screenplays and stuff. And it just got addicting. It just got, you know, so addicting to like put writing together. And then I just noticed that it made me feel a little better sometimes, because there would be my imagination, get something off my brain onto the page. And then, you know, I decided to come back to Colorado Springs, you know, for personal reasons. And in the process, I continued to screenwrite. And the more I was doing my screenwriting, someone told me, hey, why don't you go into festivals, see what happens? So I said, well, there's like no screenwriting film festivals. He goes, yeah, there are actually. And he showed me a site that showed me where all these different film festivals are. So I started to put a lot of my scripts in there and stuff. And before, I think it started, I want to say 2019, I want to say is when things started to get cooking, because film festivals were looking at my work and they were liking them. And then when it comes to liking them, it became where I was winning awards. And last year I won an award for best, let me see, because I've got it hanging up because I'm an ego here. Best comedy short screenplay from the Houston Comedy Film Festival. And I went to Houston last year, had a great time. Los Angeles, one of the Los Angeles film festivals chose me for their quarterly award. And as of this moment, we're putting things together to get one of my scripts to start filming either the end of this year or next year. So.
Oh, that is great. And what's the name of the screenplay?
It's called The Blind Date.
Okay.
And it's about a guy who winds up going on a date with a celebrity crush. So you put that in your words there. So like I said, this one in the script, it has actress Olivia Munn in there. So what we're trying to do is right now, you know, got it. Yeah. So right now, thank goodness, you know, I've got a producer that, you know, has wanted to come aboard in the project. And again, you know, with this coronavirus and everything, it's been kind of like, okay, we need to put a halt on stuff, but it's great because we're now starting to plan stuff. Like, okay, let's find the director. Let's find, you know, some other things. And then, of course, the hardest part is trying to get actors and actresses to come work on these projects, because with what happens here, we don't know how it's going to work with film. So,
right. Yeah, I totally get you. I totally dig you. So let me ask you. OK, so you said, you mentioned it, that you had Olivia Munn in mind for the for the celebrity. I think that's a fantastic choice. And I think, let me ask you if my reasoning is kind of agrees with yours. And that's because she, of course, started her fame that she was kind of on the other side. She was kind of a fan, and she got her start, if I'm not mistaken, with on Tech TV, you know, Attack of the Show, etc., etc. And then now she's this celebrity actress thing like that. I mean, do you kind of agree with that? And that's kind of where, you know, where she started and now where she's at?
I kind of agree with that a little bit. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know,
is that where you you kind of started getting your eye on her and, you know, use the inspiration for the screenplay?
No, basically it was, you know, I was talking to a few of my friends about that. And it was just like, okay, because she did come to mind, obviously. But, you know, if you can, you put like any female celebrity with this in this case, because in this movie, you know, it's a guy who, you know, is a regular normal person. And then the little female is the celebrity crush.
Yeah.
So you can put any celebrity in there. So, for example, you know, Olivia Munn can probably be replaced with, say, like Scarlett Johansson or things like that.
Right.
So it's one of those things where, and also too, I know people think about it. I know they think about it. You probably have sometimes already, have you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's yeah, and I could see that. My, you know, if you want to talk, my celebrity crush is Sandra Bullock. You know, with Speed.
Okay.
You know, of course, Speed was the one that really got her over the top. You know, and of course, before that, she had like you know, Love Potion number 9 and all that stuff like that. But yeah, so yeah, that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, it's not just that that's been looked at. I've had a couple films being looked at. One is Holy Ultimatum. It's one of my first scripts I ever wrote. As a matter of fact, it's the first script I ever wrote. So that's one that I'm looking to also get filmed too and stuff. So that's kind of like a faith-based comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And what else can I... bring up for you, because I've written, I think, like 8 projects so far.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I've written 8 scripts. people are going to be like, well, why aren't they getting filmed? Oh, entertainment business is tricky.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, it's tough to, well, I would assume that it's tough to get the eyes on it just in the first place. And right now, like you said, it's things have probably been slowed down a little bit. Things have got to be cautious, but, once we're all over with the current situation happening, do you think, it's going to bounce back, pretty, decently?
Absolutely. And I think we're probably going to get more projects, because who knows? I mean, it's probably, because me right now, I think the next one I'm trying to write is, this is where the wrestling comes in now, mm-hmm. is about a guy who basically gets, you know, he's an old man that kind of gets called up to the big leagues. So that's the story I'm writing on that one, working on that. So
that'll
be hopefully the next movie I can write and get filmed.
that's cool. Let me ask you, I haven't been following Impact Wrestling all too much, but I don't know if you haven't yet, but recently they've kind of have a little bit of a storyline going on like that. I assume that you were writing that before, kind of with what they had, that little, you know, brief, you know, hit of news that they had that older gentleman wrestling in their ring right now.
You know what? It's kind of interesting. I don't know if there's a good mind wave between me and whoever writes for Impact. Or, so it's kind of like, you know, hey, this is something. Because I was thinking about it, you know, seeing, you know, a lot of the independent guys, and there's some independent guys that are, you know, pretty up there in age.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just be like, what if it just happened to be where, you know, they got called up? You know, they got called up either the WWE or AEW. I mean, what would happen? You know, what's going to happen to this guy? You know, because there's a lot of factors in there. Number one, there's age. It mm-hmm. sounds crazy because I don't know, that guy from Impact probably blew that out of the water, but, you know, with what he was doing. But, you know, if you think about it, it's like, okay, what, you know, how is he going to handle it at his age, or how they're going to handle him at his age? You know, the locker room. So, and there's also other things that happen in life, too, that can kind of cause it to either be a stop or a good go. So,
right. Yeah, that's so true. So what about the comedy side? You said you did a lot of open mics, you know, things like that. Have you ever been able to actually be booked on a show?
I was, yeah, because I started here in Colorado Springs, and then when I was in Los Angeles, I did a lot of open mics. So I did open mics at, like, the Hollywood Improv, Comedy Store, things there. So I get back to Colorado, and then I decided to do some more open mics and stuff. But a friend of mine came up to me, and she said, hey, she says, we're looking for talent, and we want to see if you can be part of the show. I said, sure, you know. And it was a thing called Locals to Last Call. So what it was there was a comedian and a music guest that was combined. So she said, if you know an artist, go ahead and let me know. I said, I know the perfect artist, actually, because I know somebody that does music. So that was my first paid gig, and it was really great. It was fantastic. And usually with open mics, they give you about 5 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
She told me, she said, you got 30 minutes in you. Oh. I'm like, yeah, I think I do. Because, you know, with doing so many open mics, you can do the same joke, or you can come up with new jokes and stuff and see how things work. So by the time, if you do so many open mics, you don't know it, but you actually may have 30 minutes of material.
Right. And it's just a matter of putting it all together.
Exactly. So then when that happened, I went to another show, and then another show got booked. So that was great. But then, of course, things started happening in life, and I had to step away from stand-up comedy for a while.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Well, hey, what about, you know, I know you are probably familiar with Lucha Libre and Laughs. Have you ever thought about, you know, you'd love to maybe do a short little setup there with them and, you know, with your wrestling background? I mean, I think you would be a perfect fit.
I will see what happens. I mean, they can use me either for the comedy or either for the wrestling. I mean, that's what's really neat about that part.
Yeah.
Because if, you know, they don't want me for the comedy, that's great. I can still be a referee. So
why not?
And
both
that's something
night.
I would love to do that. So that would be interesting. That would be like, you know, I don't know. I don't know how that would go, actually.
Well,
you know,
I would see, you know, just, I mean, what my thought process on that would be, you could definitely maybe say, you know, be one of the early sets comedian, and then they could bring you back as a referee towards one of the later matches. And so they could do it. So the hosts, the MCs of the show, depending on if it's, Mitch or Doug or whoever is there on that particular show, they could do a lot of great callbacks and make, you know, the match that you're refereeing even that much better. And you even throw some lines out there as the, when you're refereeing back to them, which would be awesome because of your background. I'm just thinking out loud.
You're fine.
So if Gosser,
you're throwing some good ideas up there.
So if Gosser, if you're listening to this, I'm just giving you an idea here.
Yeah, and again, Nick, it's up to you, man. I mean, if you don't want to do it, that's fine too. So
that's great. All right. Well, hey, I think that might be a great place to wrap this up. But before I do let you go, people wanted to follow you out there on the social medias, the Twitter, the Facebook, you personally, or if you've got some of your screenplays or any of that kind of stuff, out there, where could they all follow you at?
All right. Well, I've got a lot here. So, kids, get a pen and paper and write this down, because there's so much information. I do have a Twitter. It's at Rich Gustason. So that's RichGustason. And very conveniently, my Instagram handle is the same as well. So you can follow me on those if you're into really ridiculous content, really dumb stuff. As far as my screenplays go, there is a site called Stage 32. So stage32.com. What you can do is you can, you know, find my name, which is Richard Gustason. When you go there, you should be able to see some of my scripts, because it gives me the history of where I've been and stuff. And like I said, there's about 8 projects on there. So you can choose whatever you like.
Fantastic. I love it. Well, Rich, I do want to thank you, and I do appreciate you coming on to the podcast this time around, and I can't wait to see you in the future when everything gets settled down.
God, yes. And let me say, Artie, you and like the rest of the fans, we appreciate you as well, man.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, a big thank you to Richard Gustason for coming on to this episode of the Wrestling with Altitude podcast and introducing himself to all of our listeners. Check him out when we get through all of what we're going through right now, mainly at Colorado Springs Wrestling and maybe some other promotions and companies down the road. Okay, as we I've been saying for the last few episodes, of course, we do not have any week in review, but let's just talk about some of the other stuff. In the meantime, since we don't have any events coming up as well, check out all of your local promotions, their YouTube channels, Twitch channels, and things of that nature that they may be having. Shout out to all of our local promotions that we have in the area, of course, Colorado Springs Wrestling, Rocky Mountain Pro, Primos, New Era Pro Wrestling, Lucha Libre and Laughs, Redemption Championship Wrestling, and so on. Everybody's out there producing content and things of that nature. So please, please subscribe, check them out, and support them any which way you can. And speaking of support, let's talk about the wrestlers and personalities and such like that. Want to check with them. They may have shirts that they have in stock that they sell at the shows in person. So send them a message. See if they have a shirt in your size to help them clean out their coffers, like I have been saying. But if they don't, see if they've got a shop of some sort. Rocky Mount Pro, of course, has got through Amazon, as well as Pro Wrestling Tees. And then your individual wrestlers may have Pro Wrestling Tee shops as well. So check with them if you can support them. I know everybody's situation is a little bit different, but check with them. See if you can support them in the meantime, before from now till we get back to wrestling. All right. So you want to catch other great shows like this one. I want to give a shout out to our network that we belong to, and that's the Trending Topics Network, the brand new Trending Topics Network. Other shows on that network, mine that I have is What's on Fight, co-host with my co-host Finn Fish, talk about all the great shows you can find on the Fight TV app. And then we've also got All Beer Inside, Rustling Cheers, Old School at the Movies, the Eurovision Showcase, and so much more on that. Just check them out at any of your favorite podcast catching applications of your choosing. And then if you, of course, want to contact the show, wrestlingwithaltitude.com is the website. Podcast at wrestlingwithaltitude.com is the email. Facebook page, facebook.com/wrestlingwithaltitude. Twitter.com/RussellAltitude. That handle, once again, is RussellAltitude. And once again, I want to thank you all for listening and having fun wrestling with altitude.